All right, welcome to episode 35 of the Making Geeks podcast. We are the podcast for makers, dads, and geeks. And today we have Mr. Josh Bryce.
Hey, everybody.
Mr. Mark O'Keefe.
What's going on?
Mr. Wes Swain.
Good evening.
And I am Sean Joliker. How are you guys doing? We're recording on a different day this week. Kind of feels a little bit different.
Shook it up.
Yep.
It feels better.
In a small way, it does.
It feels livelier.
Much more awake.
Wednesday is a busy day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hump day. Got to do that humping.
Mm-hmm.
If that was why we were busy.
Try the veal.
I told you we're funnier on Thursdays. There's actually hope with the weekend around the corner.
I just hit my weekend. This is my every other off Friday, so today is my Thursday Friday.
Oh, nice.
I don't have to work tomorrow. So we're recording Thursday because, Sean, you had something going on yesterday, right, for work?
Yeah, something called Showcase. So I don't know how it is in other states, but in our district we have something called declining enrollment. So we're getting less and less kids to the district, which means that we get less and less money. So now it is the habit to try to recruit kids from other districts.
Really?
Yes.
That's weird.
Does that mean you
can pick your public school?
You can to a degree. So you can pick a public school if the other school offers something that your home school does not have. Hmm. It's their way of trying to handle like the equal opportunity type thing. And our school is doing pretty well. We're offering a lot of programs that other schools don't have, so we've actually been able to recruit quite a few kids from other districts. Yeah, so that's what I was doing last night, and it was nothing more than me standing around for 2 hours, shaking hands with parents and trying to explain some of our programs, and that's really about it. So that kind of takes the place of parent-teacher conference now.
So it's not like a commercial with like a skit?
The band does a performance, the cheerleaders do a performance, they do school tours because we have a pretty good woodshop program, and a full TV studio on campus. Hmm. So they do tours of that for the parents, and everybody kind of shows off what they do, or hopefully show off what they do a little bit different than other places. It's getting really close to like a full marketing thing. We have merchandising for the school now. About a year or two ago, they hired a design firm to completely redesign the logo, because we used to share a logo with Cal State Northridge, one of the area state colleges, but they wanted to get away from it, so now we own our own logo and can make money off of it and royalties and all that stuff.
What's your mascot?
It's a Viking. I'm actually wearing one of the work shirts. Yeah.
Right.
I'll try to hide it in the video.
You should follow that Viking Facebook page.
Which Viking Facebook
page? I'd have to look it up.
There's a lot of them.
It's just... Yeah, every once in a while, there's pretty funny. Like, one of them was, you ever wonder why Nordic girls are so beautiful? They didn't bring back the ugly ones.
I actually think the Techno Viking should be our mascot. That'd be pretty cool.
I haven't heard of that one. Oh wait, no. Yes. I think I have actually.
I'll link to the YouTube video in the description.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I just signed up to be a t-ball coach, so I think I get to pick our team's name. So I'm gonna pick like the goofiest, like the fighting acorn, or who's the people that are the okra?
The angry lemmings.
There you go.
I used to have a fantasy baseball team called the squatting squirrels.
The motivated amoeba.
I think that somebody made a new Facebook cartoon.
Well, maybe we can get Brian's ducks. We'll just be the ducks, and it'll just be like this: the sad dad duck, and then I'll just be like,
instead of names on the back, you should have it look like somebody cussed and it's being censored out with like the at symbol, yep, the pound sign.
Because that's all I'll scream at those kids. It'll just be like, oh man,
that'd be hilarious.
I think I just figured it out. We're the ducks. We're just like the sad-looking, defeated dad duck.
Hey, what sport did you say it was?
T-ball? Yeah.
Foul language, like foul ball. It works.
Perfect.
Boom.
And you just got a corporate sponsor, too.
Boom.
Well, you have to convince them, but...
Or just call it the foul balls.
A million little kids running around.
Where are the foul balls?
I love double entendres.
At work, they put me in charge of this very boring and really non-responsibility laden security detachment kind of thing. Like, I had to make sure certain doors are locked and safes are done or whatever. And so this department that I work, we work with ballistic missiles. So I called it the Ballistic Security Action Committee that I randomly made up the name of for. And I'm the chair. And so I make up random, I make up random memos from the ball stack. So anytime something stupid about, I send out memos to certain people from the chair of the Ballistic Security Action Committee.
Oh, man.
So every time we get these dumb reports, like this one report came out that like Pokemon Go is spying on Russia. So the ball sack came out with a memo that was like, Russia has thwarted our efforts. It's like, we developed that game solely to spy on Russia and they caught us. And I imprinted a little picture of like a little screenshot. And I was like, our best agent, Bulbasaur, has been captured. And it started like being like sucked into a little Pokeball. It's like, he's been compromised.
Someone's going to turn that into a game.
Oh, I should. Dumb work. Ugh.
Speaking of work, I think today we're talking about how work tends to kind of get in the way of what we're trying to do or achieve, or the different individual goals that we have as makers primarily.
Yeah, so this is more for maybe not the full-time makers, but even if, I mean, the full-time makers, we talk about being a maker, a dad, you know, and a geek, and so one of those things usually has to give. I'm just like quality time and money, like one of those things has to give if one of them has to flourish. But because all of us, I mean, Wes more than the three of us have, you know, a full-time job, it's how does work get in the way of everything else? Making, like being a dad, like everybody has to find that balance. That's kind of what we're about. I think because Sean had your showcasing event yesterday where we had to, you know, postpone the podcast. And God, if you've listened to this thing for more than a week, you know that I'm on the road random times having to, you know, fiddle with hotel internet. But, you know, Sean, I'll throw it to you. Like, being a teacher, is it your schedule? Is it your effect that, you know, your students are kind of spying on your progress? Like, how does work get in the way, or how does it even help, maybe?
For me, it's, I don't know. Work gets in the way only because of, you know, it's locked into certain hours. And I know a lot of people have the same issue where you have to go in at a certain time and you're done at a certain time. But one of my issues is just being a teacher, and I know a lot of other professions share this, is that when I come home, I'm not done working. I end up bringing a lot of work home with me. You know, I try to do as much as I can during the work hours, but it's never enough time. On average, I spend probably at least 6 to 8 hours a week grading in some form or capacity, combination of grading and lesson planning, because we create most of our own content. We don't have books that we really follow at work. They've been outdated for years. And because we've been in transition with different educational policies, which is now Common Core, the district hasn't adopted any books. So I spend a lot of my time lesson planning and looking for material. And that gets in the way. I can't go to work and not have something for the students to do when they're all supposed to be preparing for a certain test or something coming up, especially my AP students. So that gets in the way a lot. And I find myself trying to cut corners whenever I can with the hope that it still doesn't lessen, you know, their experience in the classroom. And then I have an outdoor shop, so it gets in the way even more because I get home, especially now during the winter, and it's basically dark and I can't really work outside. And then I come home, dinner, kids, homework, maybe an hour with the wife, and then it's, you know, working on stuff again. So most of the time during the week, I don't get any time. And during the weekend, I'm lucky if I get maybe 2 hours. If I'm lucky on the entire weekend, unless I'm in the middle of a project, then my wife kind of grants me more time out there and tells me to get the project done. So it's constantly getting in the way, but I don't have the flexibility that some people do that own their own business, or I don't know, maybe something else. Maybe it's more common. I'm not even sure.
Mark, what about you, man?
Work gets in the way every day. It's 10 valuable hours that I could be using making things or upgrading tools or cleaning workshops or designing something. That's actually a lot of the reason why I ended up with the Surface that I bought, so I can still get something done while I'm not at home. I don't know. I mean, it's definitely rough, you know, because I would love to be doing any one of the number of things that I do full time, but it's getting that starting point that, you know, I saw something on Instagram. It was like, what would you do if you weren't afraid? And I'm like, well, if I wasn't afraid of losing the roof over my family's head, I'd be doing a lot, you know? So I think that kind of plays into it. Like it's really just afraid of losing that income, losing that, you know, stability. And, you know, if I wasn't working, I'd be doing a lot more stuff creatively wise.
Do you keep like a running list of projects on your Surface, or does it just you tinker around with things?
Well, the Surface is more, I can do limited 3D scanning from it, and I can very limited work on modeling software. Right now, I mean, that's really, if I can get a better mouse and do smaller projects, because I have had the software crash on me a couple times, but I can design while I'm not home or have a lull at work or get an idea. I can, you know, build it real quick, you know, just something ugly, and then refine it once I get home, get to my desktop. But, you know, it does help me keep moving and you know, not forget, you know, those sparse ideas you have when you see something, you know.
Yeah, I have a little Moleskine notebook because I can't take a lot of electronics with me, so I have to jot everything down in scribbles and gibberish. But like when you're at work and you say you find the time in the lulls, like, I don't know if it's just me, but when I'm at work, I find it hard. Like if I'm doing work, and I have an idea that I want to make something, or an idea for a project, or an idea to make something else better, like, I find I can't continue my work, like, unless I go write it down, or unless I kind of, like, deflate that idea balloon, because it's just going to, like, pick at me the entire day, and I'm not going to be able to focus. Like, yeah. Does anybody else have that problem?
Well, I mean, I've been doing my job for 11 years, so it's not like it gets more complicated, you know? Cable. Connect point A to point B and make sure there's nothing wrong in between. So if I can be sitting there working on someone's house and still be thinking about how to design something I'm trying to figure out how to design.
Yeah, like if I have like an idea that's pestering me, it feels like a pressure on the inside of my head, like mentally. You know, where it's like squeezing all the normal thoughts to the side. And the only way I can kind of quell that is, I think you said, like just kind of jot it down or write it down or give my thoughts in a physical analog form. Whether it be a sketch or just like a list or something like that. And it does definitely seem to help.
It's similar for me too. I get ideas all the time, and sometimes I'll write them down, and sometimes I'll just kind of let them kind of percolate in my brain a little bit. But when I get excited about something, that's when it's tough, because I want to start on it right away. I'm afraid that I'm going to lose the energy, and I'm afraid that I'm going to lose the excitement, because between the hours of 11 and 2, I am so ready to go with actually working in the shop and doing something. But by the time I get home, usually 4, 5, or 6 in the evening sometimes, especially this week, I get home and I can't move. You know, I just feel beat physically and mentally. And that's what makes it tough, is not being able to start on something until that time. It just, you know, even going home and editing or on a video is tough, even at that time.
I mean, and that's the prime time that, like, your family wants you to.
Yep.
Like, yeah. So when you're not there, or if you're, you know, occupied doing something else. I know it's like the highlight of my day when I walk in and like all my little crazies like, Dad's home, even for like those 5 seconds before the world erupts into chaos again. Like that little moment, like they want nothing but just to hang out with me for a little bit. And so that's the, I think the hardest part is that at work, I seem to have this thing where I can justify not doing work in the name of creativity and like not growing this creative tumor. Like I have to get it out. But whenever I come home, I can't look them in the face. I'm like, okay, y'all can just keep your excitement down. Daddy's got to go out back for like 2 hours. And then when I come back, then you can do this exciting, like, hi, Dad. It's like, they don't care.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. Because it's, like with work, it's, you know, you're on someone else's time. And, you know, ultimately, your time is always going to be more important. But, like, when you get home, at that point, you're taking, if you decide to put work first, it's, you're taking it away from your family and your children. And that's always rough. That's a bad decision to have to make. So you want to give it to your kids first because, you know, how much longer are they going to be that small?
So
you want to have those memories.
I think about this a lot. And about probably close to a year ago, my wife and I sat down and were deciding about, you know, whether or not I was going to pursue, you know, making, especially doing it online and YouTube and taking a stab at all this to see what happens. And we made a decision back then saying, okay, well, you know, I have to go to work every day. I need to spend time with the kids. I need to spend time with her. There's certain responsibilities that we have to maintain. So what am I giving up? What are we giving up in order to be able to pursue this? And what it comes down to is, for me, the house probably isn't, you know, in order as much as it should be. You know, I'm not cleaning as much as we probably should. My yards are a complete mess because the time I'd usually use for cleaning up the yard and maintaining would be a, you know, what I was kind of raised to do with the house, I am now doing making instead. That's what I've been giving up. And it's probably the only thing that I can really justify. You know, all my neighbors probably hate me because it's probably one of the messiest houses on the street. The inside of the house is clean and sanitary, but it's a little bit cluttered and not as organized as it should be. And that's been the trade-off. The only thing is I don't think I have anything else to give up at this point. This is my life. This is what I have to work with, and I just have to do the best I can with all of this right now.
So, Wes, what about your day? I mean, you're a stay-at-home dad. You have Geeksmithing. You have an online business that you have. Like, how do your side jobs get in the way of your primary job, which is also getting in the way of your family?
Yeah, it's circular, isn't it?
You're this weird Venn diagram. Like, how do all those things come
together? I don't even know what shape it is. It's not circles.
It's gears.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it's constantly shifting.
But yours aren't all mutually exclusive, though, either, because yours do influence in a little bit of a different way.
Yeah. I'm definitely still struggling with the balance there. I mean, it's a little easier to mentally kind of figure out what direction it's going, with the kids being in school more, like Grant's in preschool for half a day, 3 days a week. Samantha's in kindergarten, which is obviously, you know, helping to free up some time during the day, which is kind of a novel thing. Over the last, you know, since she was born, that's kind of like a new opportunity, I guess, in the daytime. And so I'm still trying to wrap my head around, you know, getting things done around the house, you know, for the responsibilities that I have. And as Catherine would confirm, I still am not at that level yet where I have that balance. And it's a struggle that I work with all the time. You know, like everybody has their honey-do list, but it's, you know, added, it's kind of amplified, and it's kind of increased in that I have like household responsibilities. You know, I'm the chef in the household, you know, primarily, so I got to make sure all the dinners and stuff are ready and, you know, try to do my best in laundry. And a lot of the times I do get distracted with, you know, trying to work on Geeksmithing during the day since, you know, it's very, it begs to be worked on right? Mm-hmm. And I have to sort of force myself to not, and I, more often than not, I tend to work on geeksmithing more than I should during the day at this point. And so, like you said, Sean, things kind of fall by the wayside. You know, whether it's, you know, repairing of like a air vent or any sort of maintenance around the house. But the dedicated time for geeksmithing has pretty much always been after all the everyone goes to bed. And that's, it takes a toll. Like earlier this week, or this past weekend, I went camping with some guys, and I was pretty beat, like hiking and everything. For like the next couple of days, I was pretty sore going up and down steps and stuff. My calves were killing me. Just there's a lot of altitude that we're, or elevation that we're hiking up and down and stuff. And just, you know, just camping out in the woods is kind of tiring on your back and everything. Mm-hmm. So I don't, trying to, oh, I know where I was going with this. So my sleep schedule is kind of out of whack in that I'm used to staying up later, but there I was pretty tired. So earlier this week, I've been going to bed at normal human hours, you know, for an adult. And it's, you know, at a sacrifice as to not getting really anything done as far as geeksmithing during the evening. And then I'm hoping to get a video out this week. But then I look back, I'm like, oh, yeah, I kind of killed off the first couple evenings of productive time that I normally have carved out of my sleep schedule. So now I'm trying to kind of play catch up a little bit. And it's a struggle to try to get it all, you know, all the plates spinning without them crashing down around me at any given point. But I'm trying to develop more of a schedule and write things down and try to have certain things to do on different certain days. Like I have Izzy's website I'm trying to work on for him. And then I have the whole geeksmithing thing, all the different social medias, as you guys know. I mean, videos, and it's a lot to sort of organize mentally. So it's, I'm constantly working on it.
So I think we're like, I wake up at 4 a.m. and I get home around 3:30-ish. To where I have the luxury at work, like if I can stop what I'm doing and think about something, but then when that time comes, like I'm not at work anymore. Like I purposely like put up a wall where I don't want to remember, or I don't want that part. And I think I'm fortunate enough where I work that it doesn't interfere, where a lot of people don't have that. And Sean, like you're talking about, you have to take your work home. And there's a certain part of you that is still sitting on your couch, but you might as well just be in a classroom. Where, I mean, I can compartmentalize, I don't know about you, Mark, but I can compartmentalize my job. I rarely have to do overtime. And when I do, I know well in advance, except for the time when inspections pop up. But like, but then I come home and I'm, you know, I'm a dad and I'm a husband. And it's still, like you're saying, that time has to be carved out at the end of the day. But I can only imagine for you, like your day job doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Just gets quieter.
Right. Yeah. Or until Grant, you know, pipes up in the middle of the, you know, early evening or late evening. I don't even know. After everybody goes to bed, and I'll have to run up there and try to beat Catherine before she wakes up to try to see what's going on. So at any point in time, huh?
Should not beat your wife.
I shouldn't.
We're not condoning beating your wife.
No. I think I mentioned stairs there too, didn't I?
Gotta go home and beat my wife and kick my dog, or is it the other way around?
Don't know what to do with that one.
Something old. Can't remember where I heard that from.
Probably a country song. Made me
chuckle. It's very possible.
Every school semester, I guess, or whatever, every kind of increase in schooling for Grant and Samantha, like I can sort of see the transition slowly evolving, you know, as far as like time, the shift from like only nighttime to, hey, I've got time in the shop during the day. And at some point it's going to fully switch, you know, where I have the majority of the time during the day, which is exciting. It's hard not to get excited about that. I mean, obviously I would love to have geeksmithing as the primary thing for me, you know, my full-time job, because I guess when they're at school, it's a little easier to sort of qualify it as that. But I don't know. It's a mess sometimes trying to get it all working.
I think I really like this topic this week in particular, because I've been really distracted at work, because I put up some more project videos and I've been getting things done, and I've had this overwhelming desire to build a table. But like, I don't have really the means anymore to build a table as easily as I did. But I'm like, I want to leave this cubicle right now and just go somewhere, and I want to build a table. Not for me. I just want to do it just to do it. And that desire is growing, like, more and more, just to like put my hands to work and create something and make something artistic. And I don't know, I'm like, if you had the polygraph on right now, like, I guess for Mark and Sean more so, like, do you like your job, yes or no?
Mine comes twofold, because do I like what I do? Yes. I like, because basically all I'm doing is building stuff. You know, I'm building a wiring network in someone's house. You know, it's go from point A to point B, and if everything's right, everything will work constantly. You know, oftentimes decisions are made that I don't agree with, but I'm on the bottom of the totem pole, so my opinion doesn't matter. And that's where my dislike comes from. You know, there's, and I understand, you know, you can't look at it the same from point of the technician versus the point of view of the technician versus the point of view of the company. But,
Okay. Well, I guess to reframe that question, does your job satisfy you?
Would I quit if I had another option?
Well, I mean, or satisfying. Like, if you're thirsty and you have something in a cup and you drink it, are you going to be quenched or are you going to spit it out? Like, that's your job. I mean, obviously, you get paid to do it. I mean, you can get paid to do anything. Like, yeah. Does your job satisfy you? Because, hey, mine doesn't.
I used to have jobs
that did, and now this one does not.
It fills a need.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, so it's keeping the roof over my head, you know.
Yeah.
If I could, honestly, if I could leave it, yeah, I'd probably leave it, and I'd want to go do the, you know, all this other stuff. But it's a matter of, will that other stuff keep the roof over my head? And right. As of right now, I'm not at that point. So,
Sean, what about you? Are you satisfied?
I am, but it comes with a little bit of an explanation, and I'm satisfied only because of what this job has allowed me to do. If I probably had almost any other typical job, I probably wouldn't be able to do the making that I'm doing now, I would assume. Because during my day, I have roughly 6 to 7 hours that I have to be at work. And then I get to decide when and how I put in those other 3 or 4 hours because of, you know, other responsibilities. So I could get to work early, I could get up earlier in the morning, or I could just, what I usually do is wait till the late evening and do that stuff then. So I have a little bit more flexibility in my job than a lot of other people do, especially on top of that with having summers off and getting to decide whether or not I teach summer school. And I've been teaching for 10 years, and I've only taught summer school once. So, but on top of that, I still do computer consulting on the side. I'm writing for Make Magazine, or the online site, doing the podcast and then trying to deal with the Geek Builder stuff. But I love the flexibility of that. I get to turn on and off a lot of those other things. So I have more control over my schedule as far as that goes. And I think that after 10 years, I could finally say, although it's kind of weird saying it out loud, is that I think teaching has ended up being somewhat of a calling for me. Not necessarily what I'm teaching, because I'm kind of tired and bored of teaching English. And it's kind of hurt me in terms of my ability to write, because I'm teaching in a very specific format. But I think teaching fits me pretty well. So, but it's taken me 10 years to finally be able to say that, because I threaten to quit every year.
I think me not being satisfied with my job is also a blessing. Like, I've always really liked my jobs. I've had really cool, fun, and exciting jobs until now. So now if this job were as cool and fun, as exciting as all the others, I probably wouldn't have had such an emphasis on making stuff. I would have been satisfied with that and not satisfied having to come home and have to try to fill that kind of desire to do something else. So now that, I mean, in this job that I'm not satisfied doing, it's given us the motivation to leave. And Mark, what you talk about acting on fear, like stepping out into the unknown is crazy scary. But I know that what's on the other side is going to be way more rewarding than like just existing in this place that I have no value. It's not satisfying in any way. Like, I don't take pride in what I do anymore. And it's time for me to go because I'm not being a valuable employee, which is strange because I just had an annual performance evaluation and I got stunning marks. And I'm like, how? Your metrics are so broken. Like, I don't know if I mentioned, I got employee of the quarter one time. I'm like, I thought I was getting fired. And I got employee of the quarter. I was like, I must get a YouTube trophy. Like, if they were to actually, like, look at my bandwidth usage to see how much I just don't work. I waste so much time. And I at a certain point, I feel bad because I'm a planner. So when I do my job well, I work myself out of a job. So then, like, everything works well. And so I just sit around like a fireman, like waiting for something terrible to happen. Then I go, oh, okay, we'll do this instead. You're like, oh, good idea. And then they leave. And then I'm like, okay.
It's actually really funny you say that. For a while at my job, I was very, very thorough, try to do everything right, you know. And I get graded on certain things, like if someone has to follow behind me within 30 days, you know, and then the supervisors do QC. So did you do this? Did you do ABCD and blah, 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 blah. So for a while I was doing best job I possibly could and scoring horribly. Start cutting corners and being crappy. Oh, you're doing a great job. Wait, what? So it's just to follow on what you said. It's that weird stop giving a crap. Holy wow. You're awesome.
My company, we set annual goals for ourselves at the beginning of the year, but they're based on like your boss's goals. So you have to like align what I'm going to do to meet that like success metric.
Okay.
So they're super vague. So it's like, oh yeah, you did. And so when I got my evaluation, they were going over things I did in February. I'm like, man, I did everything I was supposed to do a month in. I'm like, yeah, okay.
All right, Joshua, I have a question for you then. Is there any position at your current company that you would feel differently about?
I've thought that many times. And no. No. Because I thought that. It was in the military, they do that. Because a bunch of people are like, I hate the Army, Marines, whoever you are, and I'm going to quit. And it's usually this like hip pocket reaction. And someone once asked me, they're like, do you think that you could do your boss's job better than they could? Or do you? And if the answer was yes, it's like, well, you just need to be patient and wait it out so that you can, you know, prove to yourself that you can do those things. You're just being impatient and getting pissy and throwing your hands in the air. But I don't know. I just don't know. I don't belong at that place, I don't think. I don't have any value at that place. I'm kind of out of my element here. And so, I don't know. There are people that really, really care about what they do. And I'm just not one of those people at this particular place. Like, I have a lot of strengths, and I don't really get to use them here. So the things that I'm good at, like, no one really cares. So I was like, okay, well, this is great. And it's like dating a mannequin. Like, there's nothing. I'm not getting anything in return, and there's nothing for me to give that thing wants. So but it has allowed me the opportunity to actually stop and realize what it is that I'm good at and what it is that I want to be doing instead. And you know, I get paid pretty decent, so we get to save a lot of money. And Sean, like you were talking about making sacrifices. In our big house, it was apparent. Like, if I was in the shop making something, I was not pulling my weeds, and my HOA would get mad at me. And then I would get so mad because I'm like, I don't care about the vanity of making my yard look pretty, mm-hmm, just to appease some lady. And so now that we moved into the fifth wheel, like, I don't have to do yard work. It takes probably 20 minutes to, like, deep clean this whole place. And so that has kind of freed up time for my wife and I. To where now I can play RetroPie arcade games now in my free time. But, I mean, it's not advocating everybody needs to go be some crazy minimalist and make these massive, huge, sweeping changes in their life. But it's that fear, Mark, that you talked about. Like, I've decided because of this job that I don't like, which has been this kind of curse wrapped in opportunity, that I don't want to live that way anymore, and I don't have to. So then this weird, goofy RV thing that we're doing has been kind of an exercise in that, like, you can do something different and the world doesn't suck. Like, just go out and try something new. The world's probably not going to suck. And even if it does, like, everybody needs cable. Everybody needs teachers. Like, I'm sure everybody needs whatever crap skills I have on my resume. Somebody does, because they pay me now to fictitiously do it. So it's, I just didn't want to live in fear anymore. Do something I want to do. So thank you, boring job.
Josh, do you regularly kind of get bored with what you're doing? Like, so like your past jobs, for whatever reason that you left, is it because you were bored or you're looking for something new?
Because I love finding something new.
I tend to get bored really easily.
I do, but I guess the jobs I've had in the past, like when I was in the Army, I was a helicopter crew chief. So I got to fly around and shoot guns and dangle off of cables and do all the stuff that people like do in video games. Like, I did that for a living. So it was always something new going on. And it was really neat. And it was really fast paced. And it was really exciting. And it was like this death defying thing. And then when I left the Army, because they wanted more of my family life than I was willing to give up. And then I became a survival instructor. And like, I hung out holding my breath underwater for like 3 minutes at a time, like wrestling these panicked students. And it was really fun and exciting and like exhilarating. And so now I think it's, but at the same time, you did get bored, like you're saying. And so I had to find new ways to try to reinvent what I was doing. And one thing I kind of get to do now is continuous improvement, to where like I get to find things that are seemingly broken or don't work quite well, like processes more so than like machines. And fix it. So that's one part of this job that I do like, and that's the one out of 1,000 tasks that is actually satisfying. And so it's the ADD part of me that's like, I want to do something different. Like, oh, what are you doing over here? Like, oh, I'm pretty sure you suck at that. Let's fix it. It's like, oh, you're taking 50 steps and you can only take 2. Or so that's, I think that's where I have to scratch that itch. But yeah, I get bored pretty easily, and I'm always looking for something new to do. And you know, yes.
And Wes, for everything that you're doing, because you're doing a pretty good combination of things right now, if you could choose one, is there one that you kind of want to spend more of your time on than another?
In project-wise, or what?
Well, I mean, because you're doing the web stuff, you're in a sense, you know, a community liaison for the maker community, and then you have Geeksmithing on top of that. Is there one that you would prefer to be dumping all of your time into?
It's really hard to nail down, because like the things I like to make are such a wide variety of, you know, physical and virtual things. You know, like I can get lost in 3D modeling where like time goes by, like that sweet zone where time just goes by. You don't notice people walking by you, like that right brain kind of engagement mode, like that. That's where I think I want to be, like, you know, that would be like the sweet spot to be in. Like, if I could choose one thing that causes that to happen, it's probably just pure making stuff. Not really video editing, because that takes a lot of concentration. I can't really get lost in video editing like I can, like 3D modeling or drawing or just, you know, sculpting or something like that. I don't know. It's definitely not the website stuff, because that, while it's fun, it's not really what I enjoy the most. I don't know. I guess just finding random weird things to make from video games and other media. I don't know.
I like that you asked that question, because listening to us, and I think a lot of people in our similar situation, is that even if we do have, like, air quotes, downtime, we're going to fill it with something.
Yeah.
So to spend that time, I'm like, I'm going to focus on this one thing. Like Justin with the scroll saws, right? So he's known for that, but he has an entire shop full of other stuff, and he has a lot of other things that he enjoys. He has comics and whatever else. And like, we could list off, I remember Casey Neistat did it one time in one of his videos. He drew like a line chart, and he broke up the hours in a day and like how he devotes time. And I think if any one of us did that, if there were any downtime, I think we would look at it and go, oh, well, maybe I can put this in that spot, or I can put this in that spot. Like, I think there'd be very few of us, and especially people in our similar situation, that wouldn't try to fill a blank, you know, little cell in that line with something else. Like, you do consulting, yeah. You do like,
yeah, it's true. Yeah, definitely.
I wonder if that's just like an aspect of age, because in my early 20s, I had a lot of downtime. I just go outside and stare at the clouds. And now if I go outside and stare at the clouds, it's because I'm thinking about something else to make or something I need to, you know, a problem I need to solve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or wondering if I have to bring things in because it's going to rain.
So I have now those same problems with your outdoor shop. That was one thing I did not think about, because the weather in Southern Georgia was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really, really nasty for a while. I'm like, well, my shop is in the back of my RV, and I use a picnic table as my workbench. I'm like, well, it's raining, so I can't do anything now. I'm like, this kind of sucks.
You know what you could do? I have two of those expandable, like, carport. It's like half carport, like expandable tents almost. But you just, right. But they're a good, God, 12 by 12 or bigger. And you pull them apart, throw the top over them, buy some tarps to throw around the side so you don't get cross blow. I mean, we got them real cheap. And, you know, as long as you strap them down, you know, they'll hold up the light to medium wind, you know, and not die. So, and they fold up real small. So it's something you could probably put in on top of everything, you know. They're good for shade too.
Hmm.
So you get in the middle of the summer, throw that up, keep yourself out of the sun.
So what's everybody been geeking out about this week? If we don't have anything else to talk about at work.
I saw Batman, Lego Batman.
I saw it too.
Good. I didn't get to see it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I have some minor complaints, but I think that's probably just going to make me sound old.
So far, so good.
Do we want to do, Mark, do you have the ability to see it? Do we want to do a Lego Batman spoiler cast?
Not for at least 2 weeks.
Okay.
I might be able to pull it off after that. Next weekend is Tracy's birthday, and this weekend is her sister's birthday. And actually, after that, I might have my neighbor's wedding. I'm not sure. So it's turning into a busy time. I will definitely... trying to make plans for it, though.
I do not want to be invited to people's weddings. It's just something I don't want to do in life, is to go to someone else's wedding. So all my family's married already. Like, I just don't want to go.
I love the party. Despite the fact that it is, it's like, as a grown-up, you realize that, wow, going to a wedding is freaking expensive, too. But, I like going.
I went to a fun wedding 2 weeks ago. Bridesmaids carrying around full bottles of Hennessy, and it was a nine course Chinese meal. Lobster,
wow.
Lobster, eel, jellyfish. Jellyfish.
Did they put that on the invitation?
Yeah. Jellyfish is weird. See, I wanted to throw it back in the ocean. One. Yeah.
Did you eat it?
Yeah, I tried it.
I've had it. It's not bad.
And then I got up on the table and tried to pee on it so it didn't sting anybody else.
That wedding escalated quickly.
Yes. Does it taste like anything, or is it just like chewing through flavorless Jell-O?
It tastes like it never should have came out of the ocean.
Oh, the stuff
salt,
I had was
just
it was
salt
seasoned.
Water. And...
No, it's a little bit gamey, but it has like the way it was prepared had like a weird spicy taste, and it was I think it's the tentacle that we were eating. And it's a lot denser than I would have expected, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It had like a rubber band type consistency.
Yeah, probably. Like it was kind of close to that.
Like bad calamari.
It was
overcooked.
It was $100 a person is what they paid for the meal. Because they have like the 100-year-old eggs, that they had abalone, which is like $100 a pound.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Man.
So you went to a rich wedding is what you're telling us.
I know.
Actually, I've been to a couple of those. A good friend of mine is from India. They had a $1 million wedding.
Cool.
I've been to one rich wedding. Yep. It was fun.
Good times.
But I'm geeking out at the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Dude.
That was really good.
I have not been able to watch that show for the last couple weeks. Seasons.
Have been on point for sure.
I hate the way they structure their seasons, man. You go through half of the first half and they get like a 3-week break, and then the second half and then a 2-month break, and then
too many cliffhangers.
It.
Yeah.
Netflix it. Let me watch it all. But yeah, Sean, really good.
I'll wait.
Especially the part in this, I'm not spoiling anything, but this part where she's like, "Oh, that lets me solve both problems with one thing." I didn't really see that one coming.
I haven't watched it in over 2 years, so
I was waiting for that to happen. I was waiting.
So was I, but I didn't think it would be quite like that.
Yeah,
that was kind of brutal.
Mm-hmm. What else?
I'm geeking
out. Nightwing movie. Oh, sorry, Sean.
No problem. I'm geeking out about a video game that's going to be coming out in about 2 or 3 months called Injustice 2, where basically you could have all the DC characters fight each other. Yeah, and that's always fun. And I would actually argue that the storyline for that game and the cinematics are better than what they're doing in the theater. I think it's a more compelling...
Did you follow the comic?
No. But
you should look up. There's a couple people that do the full comic reviews.
Uh-huh.
But I've talked about it before. Comic Storian, he did all of the companion comics that bridged what happened before the first game.
Okay.
Through the first game and then between the two games, and that is one of the darker storylines, and it's really good, but it's real. I really don't like it because it's just so dark.
I mean, and I get it, and that would be awkward in the theater, especially since it's supposed to reach a larger audience. But it's perfect for this game series because it's also by the makers of Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat, yeah.
So it kind of makes sense that it's a little bit darker. I love it though. I've always been a fan of fighting games, and this one I really like. I like the system and.
It's really cool the way they animate it too, because when they land a punch, you can almost feel it with the way it animates and the environments and all the. It's really good.
Yeah, it's well designed. How about you, Josh?
I've been geeking out about the woodworking show in Atlanta.
Yes.
There we go. Wes and I went to the one last year, and it was okay. I mean, there were a lot of big name woodworker YouTube. Maker group type people there, but I think this one this year has a more fun, an inviting kind of atmosphere already. Izzy Swan has been really, really big into promoting and setting up a lot of the stuff, and it's just there are a lot of people in intergroup conversations about what people are wanting to do, and there's the Rockler store wants to bust people down. To Peachtree, which is on the south side of Atlanta, to after hours to go shop at their store at a discounted price. And
it's one way to drive business.
But at least they're trying to participate. I give them a little bit of credit for that.
This is Izzy. Wes, you deal with Izzy a lot more. And so I popped in on one of his hangouts the other day, and the dude is amazing. He does so much for the maker community, and he's what did he call himself? The social media ambassador? He gave himself a title. And to throw back to that, there's J.R. Hildebrand, Doc Hildebrand, right? He's a member of our maker community. He was in his shop on this Google Hangout, and Izzy was asking if there were any tools that he could add to the Tool Masters Association, this closed group that he has that offers a lot of discounts, because Izzy contacts these tool companies and pretty much gives them a direct line of targeted marketing to makers and craftsmen, woodworkers, and Doc made this goofy comment. He's like, "I need a new broom," He's like, my broom is messed up. So I'm not lying. Izzy looked up like three different companies that make brooms and called them on the phone while we were on this Google Hangout. My name is Izzy Swan. I am the social media marketing ambassador for a group of these type of people. He's like, I'd like to make some connections. And he's like, I'm trying to get brooms. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, just go buy a broom. He's like, no. He's like, we got to get this. The community needs brooms, guys. And just watching this guy make all these connections for, like, perfect strangers and putting himself out there as this one person that wants to help out the community and everything community stands for and, like, give people discounts on things that they really need. And he puts in a lot of work in this community. And people think he's just the fun guy who makes a big walking dinosaur. He makes stuff with drills, but Izzy Swan does so much for a group of internet strangers that he needs a lot more recognition. And so I never saw somebody put so much emphasis into trying to find someone a broom before, but that goes to show like the level of detail that he puts into stuff and the care that he does. And so it's a huge shout out to Izzy, because I kind of got to watch the ambassador firsthand try to haggle with some broom. It was pretty impressive.
It's always fun watching people in their element.
You know, future businessman. Yeah, and there's a lot. I mean, if you could just watch and do that, there's a lot that you can learn about interacting with people, especially these big, big, scary kind of companies and trying to make these sponsorship deals or arrangements. And you just, I'll just call them on the phone. Like, why not? They're looking for people to do this. You just call them on the phone. It was inspiring to watch them do it. It was kind of cool.
I also want to throw a plug for Josh for his video that he just released, because I think it was a really cool idea, and I love the execution of that kind of hidden game system in your console.
Oh, thank you.
I recommend everybody check that out. It's really worth checking out and seeing.
That's definitely going to be one of my projects, too. I think that's something lost in modern video games. I don't think the 2D sprite games were necessarily a limit of technology. I think that was an actual art form, you know, an art style. And I miss that so much, you know.
So I somehow like went into this playing old games again, thinking that because I'm a grown up and I'm smarter and I've got a master's degree, I can totally beat Ninja Turtles now. Like, no, those games are freaking hard.
You're worse now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, those games are hard. I was getting through, and my lovely wife, she was cursing up a storm yesterday playing Mario. It was amazing because I have the new Bluetooth controller, so it's not a straight adapted like NES controller. My lovely, lovely wife was getting super mad trying to play Mario. It was so much fun.
Well, they all have their triggers, man.
But originally that project was to get my oldest son to learn how to ride his bike without training wheels because he didn't want to do it. So I was like, oh, well, I'm going to make this thing. He's like, oh, I want to play Mario. I'm like, you will not play a single second of this game unless you go out and practice. So it's a one for one. As much time as he puts in practicing how to ride his bike without training wheels, then he can play that amount of time on the Nintendo.
I do similar things with my kids. I love that leverage.
Yeah. Manipulation, baby. Breach progress.
Mine just started saying cheese, so I'm not there yet.
Hey, here you go.
Although she did start climbing on things now, so
yay! I gotta screw everything to the wall now.
Mm-hmm. Just sue IKEA, you'll be fine.
No, this is stuff I made.
Oh yeah, well.
Oh my god, have you guys ever looked back at something you made when you first started doing it, and when you first made it, you're like, yeah, this is awesome, and then you look at it now, and you're like, wait, how did I miss that? I was sitting. You can kind of see it in the corner behind me. I made a shelf for Tracy, and I'm sitting in front of it playing with Thea, and then I look over and I go, that is the most unsquare thing I've ever seen in my life. How did I get these quarters to line up?
I'm looking at a bookcase right now that I made. It was the first project I ever made in this house, and it's bad. It's really bad.
It's kind of fun to have that, though.
Yeah.
My big dining room table, one of the boards that I laminated to make the tabletop, was coming apart right where I sat and right where I put my elbow. So this corner of this 2x6 like dug into my elbow every time I sat this table. And I was like, oh my god, it's so beautiful. I'm like, I hate this table so bad.
That's like the floors in my house. Because when you do wood floors, you're supposed to let them accumulate to the weather and you know, when you put them down, if they're not complete, if you're not in the right season, you're supposed to leave a little bit of a gap, like a 16th inch or whatever, every, was it like three rows or something? Well, no one told me if you're putting down floors in the middle of August with the windows open, you don't have to do any of that. So now I have like eighth inch gaps every once in a while that are just filled with dirt. And everyone's like, oh, these floors are great. And every time I look down, I'm just like, no, they suck. I did it all wrong.
You got to be your own worst critic.
The second house will be better if I ever get there.
Okay, well, I think that about wraps it up for this week. So we would love to hear from you, the listeners. We'd like to hear questions, show ideas, suggestions. Please check us out on makinggeeks.com. Go ahead and check out the contact page. And you can communicate with us directly right on there. And if you go to the homepage, you can also listen to all of our past shows, find out all the past wonderful guests we've had right there on the homepage. And you could also subscribe to us, which we really hope you do, on iTunes, or you could listen on Google Play.
And real quick, before I do my thing, I want to throw a thank you out to somebody who tagged us. Looking it up right now. Everglades Woodworks. You threw us a shout out on Ryobi Power Tools. Thank you, man. Anyway, yeah, you can find us on Instagram at Making Geeks Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Making Geeks, and you can find us on Facebook and throw us questions on all three. We want to hear from you. We want questions and suggestions and everything you can possibly throw at us so we can cover it and make y'all happy.
If you want to rant about your day at work, go right ahead.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're here for you.
Do it. We also like to thank our patrons over at patreon.com/makinggeeks. Over there, you can basically throw a dollar in a pot as a give a dollar, take a dollar sort of idea. Any contributions there will actually help raise the quality of our show to a new level. We use those funds to help promote the show for different events like stickers, getting buttons, increasing the actual quality of the hardware that we use. If you want to check out some of the rewards, they're actually pretty cool too. So you can actually get something for your money. We actually have a level that is the Maker Sticker of the Month Club. From the different shows that all of us have been to, we've kind of accumulated different stickers from different workshops, different maker groups, and different makers on YouTube and off of YouTube. And so if you actually want to get a surprise couple stickers every month in your mailbox, there's a level for that. It's kind of a neat sort of mystery box, loot crate sort of idea, but specifically for the makers. And it's also a cool way to kind of support and discover other makers you never heard of. So it's pretty neat. But that's Making Geeks over at Patreon.
Awesome. And you can find all our own individual work at geeksmithing.com, at geekbuilders.net, at Asylum Designs on Twitter, Instagram, and Thingiverse. And you can find all of my stuff at theiworkshop.com. So thank everybody for hanging out with us as always. I love doing this. I don't know if we say that enough. You know, even if like we lived in a vacuum and no one ever listened to us, I love doing this. Thanks, fellas.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a highlight of the week for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. But stay tuned every Saturday when the show comes out. And that's about it.
Actually, one quick shameless plug is I released a video earlier this week, so please go check that out too.
Yeah. Oh, I totally forgot about that. That was super pretty. Yeah, the heart you did with the scroll saw. Yeah,
thank you.
Go do that. Go watch that.
Good stuff.
Yeah. All right, folks.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Take good care. Weekend, everybody.
It's a simple answer. I don't know what the f*** I'm doing.